of all strength. We're coming to the end of the year. We've been studying the book of Ephesians on our family fellowship nights once a month. We've been doing this throughout the year. And something we started back in January. We started with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This book of Ephesians, we need to understand, is written to the church at Ephesus. They were believers in Christ. They were justified freely by His grace. They had trusted Christ their Savior. And so this book is telling them about this worthy life that they can live now in Christ. The worthy walk and the high calling of the lowly church. And also of this battle that you and I are going to face as believers in Christ. You know, this is our high calling. We've seen this in chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. How chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, how we were sealed with the Holy Spirit at the moment in time that we placed our faith alone in Jesus Christ. We are permanently sealed, and now we can walk. And Paul, throughout this, brings us along, as well as the believers in Ephesians. He brings us along. Ephesians 2:8-9 explains this: we're saved by faith and not by works. Faith alone in what Jesus Christ did for us. And we can live this Christian walk, which is explained now in chapters 4 through 6:9, right before we come up to this verse 6:10. So if you turn over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to bounce around to a couple of other passages that we see in here in Ephesians. But, you know, back in 1985, fresh out of high school, I joined the Army Reserves. Got a real big enlistment bonus so I could buy 40 acres of land. It was the reason why I joined the reserve. And I wanted to be an operating engineer out of International Falls. And they said, no, you can't do that. You're colorblind. You got to be an infantryman. You're a young, strong guy. You can carry this dragon, it's called. It was a missile like the javelins now. It's a shoulder-mounted missile device. And so I went to boot camp down in Fort Benning, Georgia. They broke me down, brought me back up. They made me Army strong. They fitted me with all the proper gear to be an infantryman. Physically and mentally, I was prepared for battle. They transferred me into a fighting soldier. After 13 weeks of intense training, they sent me home to my battalion, fully equipped. But you know what wasn't equipped? Was my desire to go to war. I didn't have a desire to fight. I had a desire to defend our country, but we had no wars at that time. And I had no desire to fight. It wasn't part of my convictions. So we're going to see here tonight that we're in a battle as believers in Christ. We're in a battle. And are we going to engage in the fight? Are we going to mentally say, Lord, I want to be a source of your strength. I want you to feed me the strength. You be the avenue of strength. And I am the one that carries it out. You know, we live this Christian life. We've seen in all these studies as they walk by faith. The same exact way you and I got saved, we walk this Christian life. We live this Christian life by faith daily. And so we have decisions to make. And we've seen throughout Ephesians, we've seen how the church was introduced, a mystery. We've seen here in chapter 6, I guess we didn't study it, but it talks about, in previous studies we've seen, it talks about how we're to, as a believer in Christ, how to be a good child or a father or a boss or a worker. You know, it's our goal to please Him in all that we do in this Christian life. So in our verse here, we're going to read it. Let's read it together. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It seems really simple, but there's a lot of truth in it. So let's read it together. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's get my pen going here. So we want to drill down on some important principles of this verse and see what it means and how it relates to us. Because, you know, many people wonder, how do you live the Christian life? How do you do it? So Paul's going to say here, finally, brother. Finally, my brother. Finally, he's saying, finally, in light of everything that I've taught you throughout this whole book, in light of what God has done for you, He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's given you this glorious standing, this eternal security. In light of the great plan of the ages that God has made you and I a part of His church. I mean, what a special privilege we have to be part of the church. In light of this plan for Christian maturity, how we're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of Lord and Savior. In light of our conduct, God calls for every one of us, every believer, to live worthy of the grace that we've been given. In light of the filling of the Holy Spirit in our walk in this Christian life. And in light of the fact that there's a battle going on, and the battle is in the Christian life. It's in the Christian life. You know, the King James Version, which I grew up on and cut my teeth on it, it says this word, my brethren. And some of the translations don't even use the words my brethren. It was kind of only in the King James Version. It's in the New King James as well. But this my brethren here is in the vocative voice. So it's speaking directly to you and to me. Directly to you. Hey, my brethren. You believers in Christ, be strong. This is directly addressing this. You know, Paul wasn't just calling for the pastors of the church, the elders of the church at Ephesus, just these certain people. He was calling for all of us, directly to all of us, to every believer, to realize that spiritual warfare is an inevitable consequence of life when we live a life for Christ. When we realize, though, that we're just a stranger, an alien, just passing through this world. It's under the dominion of the wicked one. We see that in 1 John 5:19. For we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of who? The wicked one. The wicked one. So in this section, Paul is going to set forth how to be armed for this battle that we're going to face. How do we face this struggle? You know, life is a struggle. It's a conflict. It's a warfare. Paul is blowing the trumpet, making the clarion call that, hey, everyone, you're in active duty if you're a believer in Christ. Are you going to respond courageously? Because we know that we make a stand for Christ, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something in our relationships, in our job, in our families. We see families, when people make a stand for Christ, how it divides families. But remember, what we need to remember as believers in Christ, this battle is already won. This battle was won at Calvary when Jesus Christ died and paid for sins. Our goal is to learn to live and walk in light of this war that we're in and this certain truth that we can be strong. You know, as believers in Christ, we're commanded to be strong. This is imperative. Be strong. This word be strong is a word in dunamai. Dunamai means strength, means power. But this is in the passive voice. So what this means is, with the prepositional phrase ahead of dunamai, it means in strength. What it means is that we're literally to be strengthened. We're simply to rely on Christ and let him strengthen us. It's not a matter of us trying to strengthen ourselves. We're to be strengthened. This word means, it's really strong, to put power in. Like a car needs gas for power. So to make us strong and vigorous and to be bold believers, bold Christians. We're to be strengthened daily, a moment by moment thing. Again, this is done to us. It's not us pulling up our bootstraps and doing it. It's done to us. So that would make you ask the question, just like I asked the question, well, how do we be strong? How do we become empowered? Through enlightenment. Enlightenment. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. We see in verses 15 through 21, through enlightenment. This is a prayer that Paul had for the believers in Ephesus there. He said, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's the Hina clause, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance of his saints? See, we need to be enlightened. And we're enlightened by the word of God. The Spirit of God uses his word to enlighten us. We need to be enlightened. We also need to be empowered, right? Empowered. How are we empowered? We're empowered. We see in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to flip over there, chapter 5, we see in verses 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Jerry taught us last month that we spill what we're filled with. When we're enjoying this relationship with the Holy Spirit, and what is being spilled out of us? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the heart, giving thanks always for the things of God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's how we're empowered. We're empowered by being filled with the Spirit. He is the power. He is the power source. So often in my younger life, I tried to do things in my own strength. You fail time and time again. I'm sure some of you guys have been there before. But we cannot live this Christian life in our own strength. We need power. You know, in 6:11 here, in our next verse in our the chapter here, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Here's how you're empowered. Put on, this is an imperative, again, a command. You're to put on this armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Able to stand against these wiles of the devil. You and I are in a battle. If we put on the Spirit of God in our lives, as we're going to see in a future study, we're not going to have time to go there now, but we're going to see the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, all these different things that you and I can put this on, and we can withstand the wiles of the devil or the trials of the devil. You know, we seen last Sunday that Jesus told Peter that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. Sift him as wheat. Satan is right there at the doorstep all the time wanting to put you through a trial. But obviously, it's got to go through God first, Jesus Christ, so we're just thankful for that. But you and I are in a battle. We need to put on, we need to be empowered with the strength that he provides. Why? Why should we be strong? Because we're in a battle for the control of our mind and our bodies. You know, you and I are in a battle every single day of what we're going to put into our mind and therefore manifest out of our bodies. What we place into our mind. We're in a battle. We have to make choices every single day what we're going to place into our mind. And that's the battle we face. 6:12 in this next verse says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Notice who we're battling against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age. You know, there's forces behind the scenes that are battling. They love to sift you as wheat. They love to sift me as wheat. And we're to put on this armor of God so that we can withstand these trials when they come. These trials. And notice now the location of our confidence in this verse. We're to be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. This is where we should be strong at. We're to be strengthened in the Lord. Back in April, I looked it up. Tim had this devotional on Ephesians 3:16. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll read verses 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with a might through his Spirit in the inner man. This is the prayer, that we be strengthened with a might through the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. You see, when our focus is on Christ, when we're allowing Christ to work in our life, we're having this relationship with Christ, we can be strong because that's where our confidence is at. That's where our strength is at. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Is that your mindset tonight? Are you relying on His strength? You know, the result of having this relationship with the Holy Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, we see in Galatians that the fruits of the Spirit then are manifested in our lives, as we see in Ephesians chapter 5. This love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, this is all manifested in our lives. We're spilling them things that we've been filled with. And notice also, we're to be, the location of our confidence and strength is in the power of His might. We're to be strengthened in the Lord, but also in the power, the strength of the Lord. This word strength is kratos. Kratos, it refers to a manifested power that is put forth into action. You know, kratos is like a weightlifter that goes up to the bar. He's a great, big, strong weightlifter, and he's got all the power in the world to lift the bar. And the might is the will. You know, I couldn't help but think, I'm a football fan, so people like Micah Parsons, who plays for the linebacker for Dallas. You guys probably ain't familiar. Some of you are you familiar with Micah Parsons? But he's a small linebacker, and he's really good. He's got a desire to win, a desire to accomplish whatever he wants, and he has the might because he gives it his all. See, we're to rely on the power and the might of our Savior, God. He has the will. He is sovereign over our lives. We're to rely on His strength. And when we rely on Him, He gives us more, and He gives us more, and He gives us more. This is realized strength. You know, but His might doesn't happen if we just sit around passively and say, Lord, I'm waiting for Your might. I'm waiting for Your power. When's it coming, Lord? No, we're to actively pursue this relationship with Him. And it takes stepping out by faith, doesn't it? And we're all in situations at work or different things where we have to step out by faith and rely on His power and His might. Again, this word power means kratos. It means strength. It refers to put in action. Power put into action. That's His power. We're to be strengthened in the Lord. We're to allow ourselves to be strengthened in the Lord and also in the power of the Lord. This power. This is what we must rely on for this Christian life, because this Christian life is difficult. You know, we can check out. We can not be into the war, into the battle. We can just do whatever the world says. We can just blend into the unbelievers and be just like them. But why? Why would we make that decision when we know someday we're going to stand before God and we're going to be rewarded for what we've done with our body? Why? Why don't we engage in the battle? You know, I couldn't help it. I just love the Old Testament story of Joshua. Joshua 13:15, before the conquest of Jericho, when Joshua was leading the children of Israel into the promised land. These second generation children of Israel, they've been prepared to enter into the promised land. Circumcised, the ones that weren't circumcised, and they were ready to go into the land. And Joshua 5:13-15 says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. You know, they were going to head into battle. They were going to fight for this promised land. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn to his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? We used to stand in military post, and when somebody would come up, we'd say, friend or foe? So if you didn't say friend, we'd draw the weapon on you. Friend or foe? Joshua says, are you a friend or a foe? And so he said, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Jesus Christ himself came and fought for these people, the commander of the army. I have now come. I've come to rescue you. I've come to deliver you. And notice Joshua's response, which should be ours. He fell to the ground of the earth and he worshiped. What does the Lord say to a servant? You know, we have a special privilege. We have a special privilege as believers in Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We've been given eternal life freely. It lasts forever and ever. We can walk worthy as unto him. We can enjoy our local church. We can grow in the grace and knowledge of Lord and Savior. We can be good bosses and workers and fathers and grandfathers and children. But it's a battle. You know, Satan is a strong enemy. So Paul is exhorting us to be strong here. You know, Paul knows that the flesh is weak. Mark 13 or 14 says, "For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we can only overcome these trials that we're going to face, this battle that we're in, by Christ's power. Note that before Paul tells us to stand in verse 11, that you may stand against the wile of the devil, he commands us to be strong. To first of all rely on your power source and then stand. Because we can win this battle. And we must sit before we walk. We must walk before we stand. We must understand our spiritual position before we can have spiritual power. When we realize where the power source is, he is the source of the power. We're simply depending upon him. You know, I was equipped with everything I needed to perform in battle, given the finest gear possible. And I had to make a decision. Is this what I want? You know, the military could never make me have a desire to do something I didn't want to do. And you and I have the same decision to make in our Christian life. Nobody can make you want to live this life. Nobody can make you want to engage in this battle. This desire that we all have to have. And it comes through knowing who our Savior is and how he loves us and blesses us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We just thank you for these powerful verses, Lord. And we're just so thankful that you are the source of our strength. We're just thankful that we can't live this Christian life by ourselves. We need you. And we're just so thankful that you're there with arms wide open, abundantly supplying all that we need as we walk to face. We know this life isn't going to be easy, Lord, but you're always there with us. Stephen, thank you for Jill and the ministry down at the Mayo, how even she, this difficult trial that she's in, she's able to share the gospel. She's able to share this blessed hope that she has with other people. And it's made a big impact on a lot of people's lives. We're so thankful for that. We're just thankful for our body believers here, and we're thankful for our night tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.